Man. Well, welcome for tuning in, all of you live stream. Those of you who are out of town and with family and tuning in now, I thank you. And we miss you and look forward to you being back here with us. You know, first time ever happened in my life, I experienced last night on New Year's Eve. Right as the kicker was to kick the winning field goal for Ohio State, when his foot hit the ball, the new year came in. It was the worst ball drop I've ever been experienced. Went to bed bummed. But laying there, I thought, you know, hey, just a game. I'm excited to be here tomorrow. I'm excited for what the Lord's going to bring in the new year. We're excited for this calendar we have. We're excited for what God's going to do in your life and what he's going to do here at EC Grace. And the message this morning, you're going to hear things that may not be new to you, but they should be a refreshing. And sometimes we need reminded of the things God wants us to know. And there's a lot of reminding in the Word of God. So this morning, let's be here together. Let's worship the Lord as we've been doing. And let's see what God would have us do in 2023. We're here on this very first day of the new year. How amazing is that? And as I thought about what message to bring, you know, I like to have kind of fun titles and little twists here or there. What could I bring? What could we challenge each other? How could we encourage one another, bless one another? What could be brought that could help guide us into the new year? And I look back when I first started as pastor. My heart and mind went back to Joshua, my first series. And I just went and copied and pasted the whole message. I'm just going to repeat it. Nope, didn't do that. New message, but thought about Joshua. The book of Joshua is truly one of my favorite books in the Word of God. Some may see it as no more as a listing of military campaigns, but it is so much more than that. It is a revelation of what God can do in and what God can do through people who are utterly yielded to Him in some of the most impossible situations. And that exemplified in the book of Joshua is exemplified and in his life. God worked so mightily in the life of Joshua as he led the nation of Israel that in all his campaigns, he lost only one battle. And that was not due to a failure in him, but because of the man named Achan. So Joshua was a very victorious person in life as a leader of the people of Israel. So as we gather here on the very first day of 2023 with each other, I want to speak on going throughout the year, living your life in spiritual victory. I want you to avoid any and all spiritual defeat. I want that for me as well. Do you want that for you? The title of today's message is Victory in 23 from Joshua 23. Right on? All right. Victory in 2023 from Joshua 23. And I want you to know, if you apply these principles we see today, you will experience victory every day of this upcoming year. Every day. So turn with me to Joshua 23, where these keys to victory all exist in 11 verses. I believe wholeheartedly that if these 11 verses were all we had to live for the Lord, we would have the model right here in God's Word. So let's drop in on Joshua's counsel to the people of his day as they also were looking to the future. What we're going to see is that what God said to those people through Joshua are the very things that he says to us today in our 21st century, in the year 2023, they're the very things he says to us. These keys are not theory. These keys are a warrior's wisdom gleaned from a lifetime of serving God victoriously. Do you want to hear from somebody who has a history of victory or somebody who has a history of defeat? Yeah, and this is Joshua at this time in his life. Joshua was giving the leaders of Israel at this time his final words in chapter 23. He's about to die. And then he calls for all of the tribes of Israel to gather together, and then he'll speak with the leaders, and he basically tells them in chapter 24 to make a choice. To make a choice. And I believe these principles Joshua gives us here in chapter 23 encapsulates the whole successful Christian walk, where everything flows from these principles. He's going to share with them three keys to success. Nope, it's not the three keys where we always have three keys. There's actually three keys in these verses to success with God as they walk into the future with him. The principles contained here in Joshua's words, my friends, are proven out in his life, and they're just as valid and necessary for us today. Let's read them together and see if you can spot the three keys. Now it came about after many days, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies on every side, and Joshua was old, advanced in years. If you're not 110, you're not old. That Joshua called for Israel, for their elders and their heads and their judges and their officers, and he said to them, I'm old, advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he who has been fighting for you. See, I have apportioned to you these nations which remain as an inheritance for your tribes, with all the nations which I have cut off from the Jordan, even to the great sea towards the setting of the sun. The Lord your God, he will thrust them out from before you and drive them from before you, and you will possess their land, just as the Lord your God promised you. Be very firm then to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you will not associate with these nations, these which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you are to cling to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out great and strong nations from before you. And as for you, no man has stood before you this day. One of your men puts to flight 1,000. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised you. So take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. Wow. Lord, I pray this morning as we come together, as we look at your word, as we look at these true words of Joshua to the people, that we will see these truths here, that through you we can have victory. I pray, Lord, that we apply this to our life, that you especially bless each one here today in the year 2023 as they serve you and love you and follow you in their relationships, in their homes, in their marriages, in their friendships, in their workplace. Use us, Lord, for your glory, for we cannot see anything before us, but we know that you are with us. In your precious name we pray, dear Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, there you have it. You like that chapter? You like those first 11 verses? Mm-hmm. So as chapter 23 opens, we find Joshua is now giving his farewell words to the leaders as he has now led them for so many years. He's led them through so many battles and so many victories. Joshua tells us in verse 2 what? He's old, he's advanced in years, and he's soon going the way of all the earth. In verse 29 of chapter 24, it tells us that soon after these events, he died at the age of 110. Wow. Today, what would that be like? I kind of thought it'd be like Pastor Paul gathering the EC Grace leaders together and giving them his final encouragement of what to carry on, with the expectation that I and the leaders of EC Grace give that to you and encourage you as well to live it out as a people. Joshua knows that if the leaders fall, the chances that the people will fail is exponentially higher. And have we not seen that in God's word? We saw that with Solomon and Hosea. They, by and large, it's great, verse 8, they've been following the Lord to this day. But going forward, how would they fare? Joshua is concerned. Would they experience these continued victories they've been having in his absence when he's gone the way of the earth? Or would they start to experience defeat in their life? This here is the burden of Joshua's heart. It's the burden that I have for you and the burden you should have for me. So he gives to them these three keys for success with God as they move forward without him. He's going to go meet the Lord. But before we look at them, perhaps you've already spotted them. Before we do that, notice what Joshua says in verse 3 and 10. He reminds them of all that God has done for them and that the victories, that all these successes that they have experienced came to them because God had been fighting for them, not because they're so special. You notice that? Look at verse 10. He says, one of your men puts to flight 1,000. I mean, what military would not want that guy? Right? Amen. But it wasn't because that soldier was so superior and awesome. It was because their God was so superior and awesome. Going back to Moses, when Joshua was just a young man and they received their laws of warfare, see if you hear a lot of the similarities. Here's what Moses told them, Deuteronomy 20. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God who brought you up from the land of Egypt is with you. When you are approaching the battle, the priest shall come near and speak to the people. He shall say to them, hear, O Israel, you are approaching the battle against your enemies. Can you see the battle? Do not be faint-hearted, do not be afraid or panic or tremble before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Wow, does it not sound the same? Joshua, here in chapter 23, verses 3 and 10, he's doing something. He is now recounting what God promised through Moses through first-hand experience, and he was now reminding them. What God had promised before, he's now reminding them. Let's never, never forget or fail to give God all the glory in everything that he does through you and in you. Everything that he has done for us, let's give God the glory. You see, victory in 23 is a guarantee for the believer following the Lord who will fight for them, who gives God that glory. So Joshua then encouraged them with the good news that God had fought for them and he had brought them to this point. He would go before them to give them victory over the nations yet remaining in the promised land. So just like Moses, Joshua too was going to die. But we see something here. But the battle was not over. God was with them, and that is good news, right? You may say, well, that was thousands of years ago, about a people who never heard of a cell phone, who never heard of the internet, and the crazy, busy lifestyle of today. A people physically fighting Canaanites, Amorites, and Perizzites. So what in the world does this mean to me? I don't line up on the battlefield with my sword. I mean, really? It's still an abiding principle, for our battle is not against flesh and blood, it's spiritual. And the very same God who gave them victory can give us victory in our physical walk and in our spiritual walk. And we must remember, no matter what successes we had in 22, and we had many, no matter what provision God gave us in 22, and we had it all, no matter what the blessings were we praise God for, he gets the glory. But the battle is not over. It's not over. The same God who worked in the life of Joshua in a powerful and victorious way, take comfort, is the same God who's working in your life today. And though the times and the people, the circumstances, and yes, the battles may change, the principles that were the key of God working so powerfully in Joshua's life are the same principles. The same keys that, when applied in your life, my friends, will enable this church here at EC Grace to walk in victory in 23. You will be in battle in 23. I do not know what sorrows are coming your way. I do not know what great victories, what great joys, what great temptations. I just know it's all coming, and you can have victory through it all, and God knows. Amen. So the first key to walk in victory in 2023, in Joshua 23, is be committed to doing what God says in his word. Wow, Pastor, original. Maybe we hear it all the time because it's one of our biggest problems. He says in verse 6, be very firm then to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right or to the left. Be very firm, literally translated, means be strong. Be strong. In other words, how can you be strong? Be strong by making up your mind. Set your soul and your spirit. This word to keep and to do all that is written in the book. Notice, God really does not have disclaimers, and he does not have loopholes. Not some of it or most of it or just what you like. I like to obey what I like, or just what you agree with, but what? But all that is written. Why? Why? He says, so that you may not turn aside from it, from it. What is it? The written word, in either direction, to the right hand or to the left hand. This word, keep, means to guard and to treasure. And the word to do means to obey. So when someone tells you keep God's word, it doesn't just mean to obey it. It's to treasure it. It's to love it. It's to guard it. That guard the word of God that has been entrusted to the saints. Joshua told them to settle something in advance, that they were going to govern their lives by the standard of God's word. You see, we may not know the future, but you can set your mind to do this. To let God's word be the standard to which governs your life, so that there would be no question when temptations come that you would turn aside from the word, that you would turn to the right or turn to the left. And Paul expounds on that, so that you will not be tossed to and fro by every form or any form of unsound doctrine. They would keep a straight course and do what God says. We often think that being out of God's word and disobeying it will lead to a quick and massive spiritual trauma. And sometimes that is the case, depending on the choice. But really, on average, most often it's like that 1,000 razor cuts with the slow bleed out. It's that ship with a broken rudder that leads to the crashing on the rocks. But here, God wants us to see something in victory with Him. He wants us to be setting our mind and our heart to the condition of unswerving love, cherishing, and obedience to the Word of God. This will usher in the Lord's power that you and I and we collectively may realize the fullness of His blessings. And that has not changed, nor will it ever change. Wow. You see, it's God's will. It's His will. And it is His command for the believer in every generation. And it works without fail when followed. To keep is to guard and treasure the word. Ask yourself as you go into this year, what is the value you place on the Word of God in your life? What is the value of the time you spend with the Lord in His Word? Ask yourself that. So in 2023, let's collectively be committed to doing what God says in His Word and keeping it because we love it. Let's treasure it, and let's guard it. Amen? Let's not live by doing what we want. Let's not live by doing what we feel, but by what God says in His Word. And let's not let the sinful world infiltrate our minds and our hearts, which result in acting out sin. Don't worry. Just do what God says. Don't worry about the rest. Just follow the best, your Lord. Let's not live by what society says. Don't worry. Don't live by what culture dictates or what the masses agree upon or what your friend may think. Only care about what God thinks and follow Him, and He will use you mightily for that world. Voices in the world are going to entice you this year to come over here to the left, come over here to the right. Hey, come over here. They're going to try to persuade you that there are no standards. There are going to be voices to tell you that there's no absolutes. And actually, who's to know what is true? Who's to know what is false? And that each person must decide that for themselves. The world is going to tell you, you decide what your gender is, what constitutes a marriage, who you can legitimately love, and when you can act out on that love. The world is going to tell you whether there is a God or no God. Wow. Don't worry about that. Let it be noise in your life, and let God use you mightily in that noise. When we conclude our study in the book of Galatians, which I'm very excited about getting back to next week, we're going to go to a new series entitled, When Jesus, where Jesus tells us the future of the world. We are going to not do a flyover there. We are going to land, and we are going to know, and we're going to see it in the Word. We're going to get detailed. We're going to let Scripture educate us, and we're going to dive deep into that. When, Lord, are you coming back? When will we see you again? When will this take place? And what is going on in the world when this will take place? And one of the major signs of the end of this age, if not the major one, is not the skies falling, but it's in the minds of men through massive deception in the world. Deceptions of the truth so powerful that if it were possible, even Jesus said the elect could be deceived. You see, absence of the word in your life guarantees the presence of deception in your life. You with me? But the believer who keeps, that is, guards, treasures, and knows the word and conforms their life to its standards will not be deceived at all, and most assuredly will be blessed and used mightily of the Lord. That believer will walk in victory. That believer will be following the very author of the word. Isn't that beautiful? The very author of the word that you treasure and guard and follow is no other than Almighty God Himself, your Savior. Because the submission of our will to obey His word, it is the active expression of our love for and our trust in God. That His ways are right and are key to the blessings in our life. You've heard me moving through that over and over through Hosea and Galatians, that which pleases God. Remember the fourth wisdom principle in Hosea. Don't go to that slide yet. Who can quote it for me? The fourth wisdom principle. I gave you six of them to write down in the front of your Bible. How many of you know the fourth one and have been living by it? Worked real hard on those. To put them together so that you could remember them. The wise man will make the word of God the path of his life. 2023, that's what God wants you to know. Follow my word. Let me show you something, my friends, something very important. You see, the word of God is not just a good practice. It's not just a better working model. It is the best practice, and it is the only working model. It's the only model that works. This counsel concerning the word that Joshua was giving to the people was the very counsel God Himself gave to Joshua when he began his ministries decades earlier. Joshua's 110 now. He's about to die. And he's passing this on to the leaders and the people. Remember how it starts out. Moses, my servant, is dead. Come over here, Joshua. I got to get some courage in you. Come over here. And God says this. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. And here you go. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Wonder where Joshua is getting this that he's telling the people. So that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. You will have victory. You see, the difference is that in chapter 1, God's promise of success, if he would not turn from it to the right or to the left, had not been proven out in Joshua's life yet. That was the warning of God. That was God's encouragement to him. But here in chapter 23, after decades of successes and victories, God's promise has now been proven. It has now been lived out. God did not come up short. God did not lie to him. He did not deceive him. He did not withhold back. Everything God told him came about. God's promise has been proven over and over. Namely, that submission to God and trusting obedience to His word is the key to success and victories from God. When followed and applied, my friends, God's word always works. Amen. Have you ever noticed that? Always works. So let's be a people in 23 who will live by the word. Let's encourage one another with the word. Let's build each other up with the word. Let's let the word seep down into our heart and allow the Holy Spirit to have time with us and sift us and grow us and encourage us with the word. Let's be a people who say, I will step out and obey God in His word. I will not turn to the right. I will not turn to the left. I will stay on the straight path that the word lights before my feet as my lamp. And I'm going to trust my Lord that He will bless if I do what He asked me to do. God will not let you down. Do you believe that? All right. The second key to walk in victory, be committed to clinging to God and not the world. Look at verse 7 and 8. So that you will not associate with these nations, these which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. So what do I do, Joshua? Cling to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. If you are currently clinging to your Lord, keep clinging to the Lord as you have done to this day. You see, the nations around Israel worshiped multiple gods, and their worship services included all sorts of sensual and sexual rituals, as well as we saw sacrificing babies to the gods. They were, these nations around Israel, corrupt and perverted to the core. Joshua was very concerned, therefore, about the danger of Israel falling back or losing ground and even apostasy if they should mix with the unbelieving world about them. We saw this in Hosea, that if you let them in, they are going to cause you to sin. Joshua was saying, hey, friends, I'm about to die and go the way of the world. And I'm telling you everything by experience and everything God has promised. Don't even take the first step towards accommodation or mixture. Don't even mention the names of their gods, he says. Let alone swear by them or serve them or bow down to them. I mean, how extreme is Joshua being? I'm not even too mention? That's radical. Especially today when the world has already infiltrated so much of the church. He says, but you are to cling to the Lord your God and never, look at verse 12, go back and cling to the rest of the nations around them. Bottom line, you're clingy. I'm clingy. We're all clingy. You're all clinging to something. You don't have to be a theologian to see this second key to victory in 23. If they mixed with the nations, they were going to be polluted with those nations' sinful ways. Same with sin in the world. It says in the word here, know with certainty. You can know with certainty, like Joshua said, that if the world infiltrates you, you will be compromised. You will become lukewarm. You will become marginal. And Joshua says, know this with certainty. No doubt about it. So don't think that you can. Just know with certainty that you can't. As we saw in Galatians, remember what we saw there? A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough, Galatians 5:9. So in 2023, together, let's encourage one another and let's set our mind to be committed to clinging to the Lord our God. Let's not cling to the world. Amen. Clinging, this word clinging, it calls for much more than a half-hearted, distant following. And you guys have started out well. You've got 100% attendance in 2023. Whew. Listen to how the word cling is variously translated. To hold fast, to be joined to be united with, to stay close, to pursue, to remain steadfast. Wow. But guess what? Those words really don't fully convey the tightness with which we are to cling to the Lord. Wait a minute. I got the gist in those words. How can they not convey fully what this word cling means? They seem pretty self-explanatory to me. Just how much, my friends, are we to cling to the Lord? And not cling to the world. I want to show you just a few examples of the use and meaning of the word cling in the Bible. And I encourage you to go do a search of the word cling in God's word for an eye-opening experience. In 2 Kings 5:27, it is used of leprosy clinging to the body of Naaman. I don't know about you. This leprosy is clinging on. How easy does it go? I'm going to get rid of this clingy leprosy. In 2 Samuel 23:10, it is used of Eleazar, one of David's three mighty men of valor, who when Israel was threatened by the Philistines and Israel retreated, said this, "He stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to its sword." The word is clung to his sword. The one I like the best. The best example of what it means to cling to the Lord is seen in Job. Job 41, 15 through 17, speaking about Leviathan. And many believe the big dinosaurs of the day. Look how it's described. Its back has rows of shields tightly sealed together. Each is so close to the next that no air can pass between them. They are joined fast to one another. They cling together and cannot be parted. That's kind of good, isn't it? This word join is the Hebrew word hold fast, to cling. It cannot be parted. No air can get in. We're to cling to our Lord so much. We're to stick so close to Him, be so tightly sealed to Him that not even air can pass between me and the Lord, let alone nothing in the world can get into me as I cling to God, because there's no gap between us. You with me? And that's going to guarantee victory in 23. So anytime somebody says, "Oh, you're just such a clingy person," say, "I'm the best clingy person in the world. I'm a clinger. Cling on. And don't let Satan wipe it out. Cling to your Lord." See, Jesus calls us to seek His kingdom. Remember that in the Blessed Life series? And His righteousness. And He tells us we can't serve two masters. Of course, we're to be in the world. We have the concern of the lost world. We're to share the gospel with those in need to hear about Jesus. But we're not to live by the unbiblical priorities and values and standards of those who do not know Him. Jesus said what? We're to be the light in the world, not like the world. So this year, be light, not like. He said we're to be the salt in the world, not the same as the world. So be salt, not same. Notice that Joshua referred to these nations as Israel's enemies in verse 1. You see, the abiding principle for us And the biblical truth for us, the church, is the sinful world is not a friend to the believer. It may masquerade as a friend, but it's not a friend. It is as much an enemy to the believer's walk and life today as the Canaanites were to the people of Israel of their day. I want to encourage you, if you found in 2022 little victory, if you found in 2022 little fervor, little conviction, little desire in pleasing the Lord, little giving, little sacrifice, little service, little commitment, little obedience, little impact, little usefulness, little joy, little faith, little trust, little hope, that does not have to be you. That can change today. That can change with God in you today. If that is you, you've been invaded by the enemy. You've been invaded by the sinful world. You've been compromised. And God says, hey, I can clean all that up if you're willing. Don't you love that? Amen. Think about this. You will not find lasting satisfaction, joy, and peace from an enemy. Why do we understand this in the real world, but we just don't understand that spiritually? Hey, where are you going? I'm going to my enemy's house. He's my best friend. He's going to take care of me. Where are you going? I'm going to my enemy's house. We wouldn't do that. Let me share these two hitting verses with you. I'm not calling you this by any stretch of the imagination. I want you to hear what James is warning believers in James. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Okay, thanks for that warning. Okay. But let me share a verse that really makes me feel good. I don't just have an enemy, I have something else. Heed and embrace the startling truth from James. Yes. But remember this amazing truth from Jesus. No longer do I call you slaves. For the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. Which friend do you want? Who could be a better friend than Christ? No enemy can be a friend. Choose your best friend. A friend has his best desire for you. A friend, what greater love is this than a friend who will lay down his life? Is that not what Christ did for us? Oh, I choose you, Jesus. You're my friend in 23. I'll follow you. It's Jesus who is your true friend. It's he who will bless you. Don't be deceived. The world is not your friend. As we close today, the third key to victory in 23, be committed to passionately loving the Lord. Joshua says, so take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. So you know what? This is great. It doesn't mean I don't have to worry about you. I can't make you love the Lord, Gabe. But I can take heed to myself. Just be responsible for you before the Lord. This literally means this. So take diligent heed means take care for your very souls to love the Lord your God. That's what it is. For your soul's sake, for your very life, love the Lord your God. It all comes down to this third key of victory in 23. Let's be passionately committed to loving God. You see, failures to obey God's word, failures to cling to our God, failures to not separate from the sin and the world's way go back to failures in our devotion to the Lord and our love for him. We saw this in the fruit of love in Galatians, in the spirit walk. Scripture tells us stay true from the beginning to end, and we cannot stop being reminded of this in Scripture. John said, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let's do a gut check on what we love and who we love. You see, carelessness about the things of God and his written word and coldness in spiritual matters. Here it is. They are a matter of lovelessness. Please listen. To be the obedient Christian who lives to keep God's word, the separated Christian from the world who clings to God, this is not done because we reluctantly give things up and do things from a legalistic point of view. It's the one who loves the Lord passionately and wants nothing else, bottom line, but to please Him. Please Him. Man, oh Lord, let me excel in that still more. Right on. No matter where you're at today, say, I want to live my life to please Him. Let's have no gap between intention and action. Let's have no gap between resolution and determination. Let's have no gap between wanting and willing. Let's do that as we walk in victory in 2023. Let's walk in victory for the love of our Lord. Let's pursue His passion for the lost. For the love of your Lord, my friends, let's pursue His passion for truth. For the love of our Lord, let's pursue His passion for purity in our lives. For the love of our Lord, let's pursue His passion for serving. For love of our Lord, let's pursue His passion for people and a lost and dying world. For the love of our Lord, let's pursue a passion for His word to be lived out in us. You know, surely then we will hear, well done, as we sang today. What if this year is the year He comes? What if this year is the year? You can start now, my friends. And if you're doing that and you're pursuing that, then you can excel still more. But let's say you're failing and you're struggling. You can yield your life to God. You can start today. God is faithful, He is just, and He will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. John Wesley once said, give me 100 men who hate nothing but sin and love nothing but God, and we will shake up the very gates of hell. Well, hey, we can do that, right? Amen. Just as God worked through Joshua, so God will work today through any people who live in submission to His word, clinging to Him, separated from the world, and who are passionately devoted to Him in love. Think of those three principles and see how that plays out in the whole entire Christian walk. I want us to be that type of church here at EC Grace. Do you? Amen. I want us to be that type of people to the glory of God. We can do this, everyone. We can keep pursuing this. So I want to encourage you weekly. I'll be praying for you. Will you do the same for me and for one another? You see, victory in 23 following Joshua 23 is a guarantee with these principles. Amen. Make this year count for His kingdom and His glory. I look forward to serving with you. I look forward to what God's going to do. But most of all, I look forward to what God's going to do in your personal walk with Him in 2023. Amen? Let's stand and let's sing.